We want to invite you to the reading of two different psalms this morning as we think of our Heavenly Father. We're going to first read Psalm number 2, and then we'll read Psalm 139. Starting with Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against the Anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Turn to Psalm 139. Our thoughts are on our Heavenly Father. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee. But the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Third chapter of 1 John. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Thus whosoever hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwell in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. 1 John 3.
Twice we've addressed God this morning as our Father. And this is a day that this country has set aside to honor fathers. And I think every father in here can agree with me, it is a tough subject to preach as a father. But we have a perfect Father, and we've heard about his family here in this reading of John, 1 John 3, about the love that's among the family. And so we're encouraged by that as we take up this exercise of trying to behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth not, because it knew him not. We want to try to behold the heart of the Father this morning. Before we get into that, I want to make a few comments on opening there. As Brother Braden went into the suffering things, and I had to think of a man that probably understood suffering better than any one of us ever will. We think back to Job, and I think it's Job 13, verse 15. He says, though he slay me, yet will I praise him, I think is how he said it. I'm going to get that But here's Job in his sufferings, acknowledging God for who he is, acknowledging the sovereignty of God, acknowledging that though he is suffering, God is for him. 13:15, it says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. So he's just acknowledging that God in all this suffering, he has a revealed word that Job is clinging to. That is, it talks about the resurrection in Job. I don't have that, but he knew about the resurrection. And so he's clinging to the love of the Father. It's another thing I had to think about, and as we sung that hymn there, Fear Not, someone has said that I think in the Bible there's 365 times that it says to fear not. And that's interesting. It's about one for each day, and we kind of need that as we face the daily life that we go into. It's in some form of fear not. And so that is just a picture of a protecting Father, a Father that has our back, a Father that knows we're going to go through trials because He knows our frame and He knows the challenges of those that do not know Him in the persecution that they bring against the family of God. I come across a story. There's a lot of stories when you start looking at fathers. And they don't always have the endings we expect, but I think it was around 1894, there was a young man born in the country of Korea, born to a poor family, but he had an opportunity through missionaries that had come there and they set up a school. So this young man, he went to the school and became a believer in Jesus. And he studied medicine and he ended up practicing medicine there in Korea and North China, where he was involved in missionaries. I think it's said that the father-in-law of Billy Graham ended up getting him and his wife together. Two Christians that loved the Lord. Hyong Jin Kim was this man's name, and he understood suffering more than you and I do. From the story I received, he stood for his faith in Christianity in a very pagan culture. Japan had come into Korea and had occupation. They were occupying Korea at the time, and they were demanding worship to these idol gods. And because he resisted that, he chose to serve the only true God. He ended up in jail, a young man, late teens, early 20s. Maybe had a couple children till then. But in this prison, they beat him and tortured him and finally released him. And as he came back into society, he was a broken man. But he still had the understanding of some of the medicine. And so he set up a little shop again, treating illnesses and diseases. In ministering the gospel. I think he had three sons and they would go into China and they'd minister in the northern China. And the children would go with them. But about that time there was an influence coming in from Russia, coming into Korea, and they were bringing the communist agenda. And they met in Korea. These two forces, the pagan Japan, in the communist ideology. And so there was guerrilla warfare that took place, different skirmishes. And the communist party come to this man, Hyong, and ask him to treat their soldiers. Demanded him to, and he chose to oppose the communistic ideology in favor of Jesus Christ. And when his eldest son was 13 years old, they ambushed his medical practice and killed Hyong. As a 13-year-old, What would your response be as you watched your father stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ and give his life? You know, Jesus there, as he went to the cross, I often wonder how he knew or how much he knew, or if he just got it from the written word in that spirit of righteousness that dwelt in him. But I'm sure he read that Psalm 22 that he cried from the cross as the Father withdrew him, his presence from him there. My God, my God, my Father, Abba Father, why hast thou forsaken me? But Hebrews tell us, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He had the reality. He had the revealed word that he had to go to the cross. He had to die. He had to pay the debt so that he might bring, what does Hebrews 2 say, Hebrews 2:10? That he might bring many sons to glory, which we are recipients of here today, because he was faithful. I think it's Hebrews 2:10. If you want to turn there, I'll get it. For it became him for whom all things, and by whom all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through this suffering that we heard about. For both he that sanctifieth and they are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Back to Hyong Jink Kim. His eldest son, he chose to look at the sufferings of his father. The reality of the suffering and death of his father when he was a 13-year-old boy, he chose to look at that and turn from God. He became a guerrilla warfighter in the opposition, in the communist. And years later, when Russia decided to help North Korea develop, he became what was called the father of North Korea. And don't be disheartened, because that story is not over. This man who gave his life for Jesus Christ in 1916, at the 31 years old, the father of three children, who one became the father of North Korea, has many believers, and some of them are among us, that are praying for the gospel to reach those people. You see, when we are offended, when something offends us, every one of us, we become an open door to deception. You see it in the garden. They became offended, doth God. God's keeping something from you. They become offended, and then they were easily deceived. So we must know our Father. We must know Him. How do we know our Father? We know Him through this Word. And Jesus knew Him as He knew what He had to do to go to the cross, to pay the price that he might bring many sons into glory. There's another man. I guess the point I want to get there. Circumstantial knowledge will never trump revealed knowledge of Jesus Christ. You will have an incorruptible body. We have these bodies that are corruptible. We suffer from disease and sickness. But he promises an incorruptible body. And this is a walk of faith that we have. It's like, I like it so much. Sanctification is becoming what the Word already says you are. As you're sanctified, as God does this chastening and this pruning and this refining, He's wanting you to see more and more who you are in Jesus Christ and the love of the Father, as He knows exactly where to prune. But this other man was raised in a very abusive home. He had a father that didn't understand love, and his father abused him day in and day out. This young man, I think his name was Bart Millard. And I think if the story's right, he ran away from home as a young man because his father was just so oppressive and so abusive. But the revealed word of God got to Bart, and he received Jesus as his father, as his savior. in his way back to the Father, the true Father, the Father that filled every desire of his heart that had been so broken by an earthly father, that had so misrepresented the heavenly Father. As I stand here, I have done that. And I am sorry to my children and all those. Lord, help us. We need the Spirit of God dwelling in us. But this father rejected the young man, but he came to know Jesus, and he went back and he sowed back into his father's life because he wanted his father to see his heavenly Father. And he spent years, and it was like a dead-end road, and it wasn't getting anywhere. And then his father was diagnosed with a cancer, and he realized that he was in need of a Savior. And his son was able there to minister the love of God into his father's life, and his father became a believer towards the end of his life. But you know, Bart, he could have looked at his circumstances, and he could have hated God, and he could have cursed God, and he could have said all kinds of hatred things about God, but he found a God that loved him. And this is the God that we're to manifest to a world that so desperately needs the love of the Father. He went on to write, it was kind of a contemporary hymn, or a worship song, is I Can Only Imagine. He talks about seeing Jesus, and he's just trying to imagine what it will be like. Will I dance for you, Jesus? Will I fall at your feet? What will it be like? He's seeing this love of the Father manifested in the Son, Jesus. Jesus says, I declared the Father unto you. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so Jesus is this absolute representation of the Father as the elder brother. And so he sees Jesus, and he's just wondering what it's going to be like when he gets to heaven. And so he chose to believe the revealed word in the face of his circumstances. Two different examples. One has caused tremendous death and suffering to a people group. And one has brought hope and light to the masses. Choosing the Father. You know, I tried to look through the Old Testament, down through the Bible, and find fathers and examples of fathers. And it's kind of a messy track record. You see, the word for father in the Bible is Abba. And if you look into the Hebrew language, there's we call them an A and a B. It's an Aleph and a Bet that are joined together. And their languages, all their letters had deep meaning to them. And an Aleph, it meant leader or head or God or, you know, the ruler. And Bet meant house. So Ab, father, is head of the house. And so as I studied all these men down through the Old Testament and some into the New Testament, trying to find just that really good example of a man that was a good example of a father. You looked at Adam. You know, the first man, the first father. And we know how that ended. You go down on down through, we have Noah, and Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and he had a lot of good attributes, but then after their flood, there were some things that kind of went sideways. Going down to Abraham, you know, the father of the faithful, you know, he just had this trouble with the untruth. You know, he just kind of saved his skin a little bit, and then his sons had it, and on down through all these fathers in the Bible. I know I listed a few of them here. I'll just run them off if I can. Isaac, Jacob, Job. Job had he was a pretty close to a very faithful father as he was praying for his children there and holding them up daily. And then, yeah, just his intercession. He was a great interceder. We have David, Solomon, Moses, Eli, the priest. And then in the New Testament, we have Joseph, the father of Jesus. We don't know a whole lot about him, but Seems like he did a fairly well job there with raising his children. Darius, as he pleaded for the life of his child, and Zebedee, the father of the apostles, Zechariah, John the Baptist's father. But as we realize the warfare that goes on, and I want to just encourage you fathers that there's a direct attack against the head of the house. Let's just sing hymn 69 now. Might be a good time to do that. Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, whither shall I go? What did thine only son endure before I drew my breath? What pain, what labor to secure my soul from second death? Author of faith, to thee I lift my weary longing eyes. O, let me now receive thy gift. My soul without it dies. Galatians 4 says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So I guess I want to look a little bit at Father God and some attributes of our Heavenly Father that we can learn from, and we can try to allow them to sanctify us more for his glory. Beholding the heart of the Father through his word, we want to look at his blessing. We want to look at his provision. We want to look at his love. We want to look a little at his chastening. We want to look at his unity. So blessing, provision, love, chastening, and unity. There's a lot more out there. There's just five that we've picked here to kind of go over and get a little more of a picture of the heart of God as we study our Father. When Jesus was here on earth, it's in Matthew 4. You'll find it right after his baptism. Actually, 3, verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So here's Jesus coming into his ministry. And his Father from heaven says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He blessed Jesus there. And it's interesting what follows. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. For says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward in hunger. So the Father gives him a blessing. You know, Brother Braden in opening, the thing came to my mind as he talked about the mountaintops and the valleys. And I've heard it said that, you know, the mountaintops are for the view. And we like that. But the fruit's grown in the valley. And this mountaintop is the Father blesses Jesus. He gives him that blessing. He gives him that encouragement because he knows he's going to need it. As he goes out into the wilderness and he deals with the flesh in the wilderness for 40 days. And 40 nights, and then is tempted of the devil. And he hangs on to that revealed word that Jesus, or that the Father gave him. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we need that in our lives as we go, as we read those words, and the Lord gives us the blessing of the Father as we go about and we meet these temptations and these trials. That the Father is well pleased in his Son Jesus, and our hope is in Jesus. And there Jesus is, he's responding to the temptations of the devil with the written word. Luke 9:35, you'll find another time. So on the Mount of Transfiguration, Luke 9:35, and there came a voice Starting in verse 33 of Luke 9, "And it came to pass as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elias," not knowing what he said. So here's Peter. He's often doing this. He has a hard time just staying quiet. He's wanting to make tabernacles for these Moses and Elias there. "While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved son, hear him." So here the father is telling them to hear the son. "And when the voice was part, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of these things." And they come off that mountain. They come down in the valley, and I think they're met right away with a challenge of the disciples trying to cast out an evil spirit. And so Jesus comes back down off of that cloud with the blessing of the Father and goes right back into the ministry against the evil spirits. And then he goes on to the cross with the blessing of the Father. So as we take and place our faith in Jesus and allow that Spirit that makes us the sons of God to live in us, we're told, and I think it's Romans 12:14, because of Jesus' cross, because of His finished work, this Romans 12 is such a doing chapter. There's nowhere to break in here, but we'll start at verse 10. "Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality." All these things that come from sons of God that are walking in the Spirit. "Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not." Here comes back to that blessing that the Father gave Jesus. And we're to bless even those that curse us and persecute us. And we can only do that because of the revealed Word and what the Word says. Our situation does not allow us to do that. When we look at the situation or the senses, what it's telling us. But it's only through faith in Jesus. We want to look a bit at the provisions of the Heavenly Father. For this, I want to go to the 17th chapter of John where Jesus is praying. "Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, for thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things, whatsoever thou hast given me, are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them." This is Jesus praying for you and I here today. "I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name and those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now come I to thee, And these things I speak in the world that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, and they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's you and I here today, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, and the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that thou love them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me when where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. That's a prayer of our Savior for you and I here today. Beseeching the Heavenly Father that the glory which thou gavest him, he is given unto them that they may be one even as we are one. This glory, that word glory, as you look it up a little bit, we think of glory as brightness and a shining, and that is one of the definitions of glory, but there's another glory and that's the opinion or the judgment, the reality of a thing. So he wants us to have that same glory, that same opinion, the Father, which is truth, and that oneness that the Father and the Son have together. And that glory will manifest as believers receive from the Father this provision he gives us in the Spirit. And we work together to show to a world the love of a Heavenly Father. And then it calls us to be diligent. You back into Timothy and he talks about providing for your own and just the natural things. We don't become slothful. We allow that as the Holy Spirit works with our spirit, comes into us, then our soul, and then coming out of the body comes the works that are the works of the Father as we choose to follow the Spirit and allow the body to operate and provide for the needs of our own and the needs of those who are persecuted in the world and those who do not have the necessities of life, that they can all be one. It's just this beautiful picture of the Church of Jesus Christ. So we look at the heart of God. The next one we want to look at is the love, and a lot of these overlap. We want to look at the parable in Luke 15. We know it as the prodigal son parable. But I want to call it the heart of the father parable as we look at it. Because we want the focus to be on the father. You know, sometimes we can relate to the prodigal son more than we like to admit. But the father in this situation here in Luke 15, we want to see the picture of his love as he works with his two sons. Luke 15, we're going to start in here at verse 11. And a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. So it sounds like the older brother got his portion at this time too. I'm not sure how that all is, but. And we know that not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. You know, we used to work at a farm, and there was a man there that leased a little portion of the farm. He had a little trailer there, and he leased the land from the owner of the farm, and it was our duty to go collect the rent. But this man, he was in his 60s, but you would have thought he was in his 90s. And he had worked on the railroad as a young man. And when he got done working on the railroad, he just lived in this little trailer house, got a pension once or twice a month, and had nothing to show for it. You see, when that pension came, this man lived alone. But when his pension check showed up, there'd be 6 or 8 cars at his trailer. And they'd be there for a couple days, and then Jim was back by himself. You see, Jim had money, and he had these so-called friends, but they would just show up. And they would drink his pension, and Jim was back to sitting in coveralls with his gas stove going because his furnace oil was out, and he just lived this cycle of wastefulness. And the check would come, and the other men would show back up. And that's kind of what happened to this young man. He went out there, and he thought he had the world by the tail. He had his cash in hand. I tell you, young people, listen to the elders when it comes to finances and money and stewardship. Because this world wants nothing more to treat you like this prodigal son and watch you waste it all on riotous living. As a father, how would I have looked on this son as I watched him? Somehow they had knowledge of it because the elder son had knowledge of it later. But we know the story. Pretty soon the friends were gone and the famine set in, and he had no money. He had nothing. Not only that, he was sent into the fields to feed the swine, which is a double whammy, because swines are unclean animals. And here he is, this son of a father who we believe was under the Jewish law. So he gets to the point where he's going to just eat the husk or the swine's food. So then one day he's in this pit of hell, we'll call it. And when he came to himself, it's kind of where we have to get to when we really look at ourselves and we realize how undone we are, how we need the love of the Father, the provision of the Father, the blessing of the Father, the chastening of the Father, and the unity that the Father brings in our life. 17, and when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, am I no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." Some different commentaries I've looked at that. You know, he talked about this hired servant. He felt he could no longer be a son. He just wanted to be a hired servant. He just wanted to hire out. He just wanted to come in contract with the Father. So he has this going through his mind as he's heading back to the Father. "I'm not even going to be a son anymore. I'm just going to be a hired servant. I'm not going to be in covenant relationship. I'm going to be in contractual relationship." He arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. This is this love of the Father we want to behold. That while he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. So he must have been looking for him to come home. We hear those stories. His father heart is pleading. I know his father heart's praying. I have etched in my mind. He's a young man stumbling in a back door and seeing a father praying. It'll never leave me. Here's the prayers of the father. As I was trying to go my own way, so grateful for the love of a father. And his father saw him and had compassion. And he ran. They said it was kind of something they didn't do in those days. This man, he would have picked up his skirts and ran to the son and fell on his neck and kissed him. He just comes from the pig pen. This heart of the father runs to him. He knows the potential the son has. He knows the direction the son's going, was going. And he has that hope return. The Jews have I think it's called teshuvah. It's kind of like repentance. What we have is as repentance, but it's a time. It means returning to God. And it was in the 10-day period between the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement. And they would go through this 10-year period where they were, it's kind of like a returning to God. It's called teshuvah. And they would try to draw back to God, and they would kind of take record of what their last year was as they looked forward to the Day of Atonement, which was their high day, where their sins were rolled back another year. And this is kind of what's happening here at this son. He's repenting back to the Father. He's turning back to the Father. And yet he still does not know the heart of the Father. He thinks he knows. He says, I'm going to just go back and he'll just pay me to work for him and I can still be fed. And he's still somewhat of a selfish motive. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. Put it on him. You know, there, in that culture, clothing had identity. Clothing was associated with identity. And so they went, bring the robe and put it on him. He's a covenant son. He's returning back to the father. The father's been waiting. The father's been longing. The father's been looking and desiring him to come back to him. Because the father knows that he can, the only one that can fulfill the desire of the son's heart. Put a ring on his finger. That gave him authority. I think the ring was used to seal the wax on the letters. And shoes on his feet. I think the servants were barefoot in these days. Shoes meant you're part of the household. You're a son. And then he says, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. What a change of events. He goes from destitute. He goes from making all the wrong decisions. He goes to living with the swine, the unclean animals, to a father that ran to him, fell on him, kissed him, put the robes on him, put the ring on his finger, put the shoes on his feet. This is a picture of us. Back to the Father. You know, we use the word repentance a lot. But if you look that word up, it's metanoia. And repentance has with it a little bit of a given penance again and again and again and again. But this metanoia, that's the actual word behind what's translated a lot of times in repentance, it is a total change. It's from a pig pen to the castle, to the father's house. It's a total change of mind, total change of heart, because you've experienced the love of the father. So he has this metanoia. He's totally changed. He was going one direction. Now he's going back to the Father. And the Father receives him. And that's just the picture of the heart of the Father to all that will place their faith and trust in His Son Jesus, who made the way possible. It's this agape love that is that God shares, where he's all for the Son. He's wanting to do everything for the Son, that the Son might come back in right relationship and be in the original reality that He had planned for mankind. So there's a little letter. I don't know, some of you, as we're talking about the love of the Father, we might read it a little later. But we want to look now a little bit as we come back into the love of the Father, and we get back into that relationship, that covenant relationship, and we are the Son that He says we are, and we assume that identity. Then comes this thing of a little bit of a chastening, and we acknowledge Him as Father, and we acknowledge that He knows best. And it doesn't always feel right. It doesn't always feel good. As we go into this, I'll call it this sanctifying or this refining of His Son that comes after we repent back. We have that metanoia, that change of heart, and come back into the Father. And the Father dresses us up. And then He wants us to share the reality of sonship with those around us. And so turn with me to Hebrews 5, I think it is. And we get into some of this here where He works with us. And we have the example of His Son here in 5. We'll just go back to this suffering we heard about. And it's like, a son of God, that makes you a spiritual person. Now we have this spirit, soul, and body. And when man fell, he starts operating from the body. What comes in through the senses. And then it comes to his soul when he makes a decision with it. That's what that young man over in North Korea did. He looked at what God allowed to happen to his father. And he says, there's no God. It's nobody's coming to save me. I've got it. That's kind of what his words were. He's like, no one's coming to save us. We've got to do it ourselves. And you see the results of that in a hermit culture, or a hermit closed off from the world nation. I think it's so right, because they've seen the horrible. They've seen the pit. So pray for this nation. Because when the love of God gets there, it'll be like a wildfire on a wheat field in Kansas or whatever. I'm confident it will. So here's Jesus who, 5:5, so also Jesus glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. This is the Father begot Jesus. This is back in you'll find that back in the Psalm I think we read there. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong cryings and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. You know, he knew what the scripture said. You know, when there, you go there to, Corinthians 15, it's where you always go for the gospel message. If you want to share the gospel message, it's right there in 1 Corinthians 15. But the point I want to get out of this is, moreover, I declare, brethren, unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, what? According to the scriptures. And that he was buried and he rose again the third day, what? According to the scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas and of the 12. So that thing of according to the scriptures, he was the word of God, it says in John 1. And he knew those scriptures had to be fulfilled, and he was the one that was going to do it. For the glory of his Father. So he had to do that suffering that we might be be brought in. There's another verse here in Hebrews 12, and it's just talking about Jesus there again, that author and finisher of our faith. Verse 2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your mind. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening of God, dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he of whom the Father chasteneth not? So this Father that we've been looking into his heart, who would we rather have chastening us as we behold his beauty and his holiness and his righteousness? And he knows exactly what he needs to mold us and shape us more into the image of his Son, more into the love that he has shared that the world so desperately needs. And that takes us into this unity thing, and it's back there in John 17 where we read through there, and he's just pleading that the Father would make us all one. And it's not like we're all exactly the same, but we're all in Christ. I think someone said that this oneness is oneness in purpose. This oneness in the heart of the Father. This oneness that we want to share the heart of the Father. We want to be a blessing to the world. We just want to understand more of the heart of the Father towards us, and then look at the world as he sees the world and be his hands and feet here to share the love of the Father. Ephesians 4 is just a great unity chapter to the church. I think it's Ephesians. I have in here, it's Ephesians is kind of like the letter. It's kind of like the church of Christ. It's so much about the church here, but chapter 4 just talks about this body in 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And every one of you is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And these are these gifts of the Spirit it talks about. They're given out to the believers in for the edifying of the body and in the increase. So as we come to the, need to wrap this up here a little bit, but I just want to encourage you fathers, as you realize in the great plan of God, the position he's placed you in, and just develop that relationship that the heart of God can be ministered through you, that the children can feel the blessing and the provision and the love and the chastening and the unity that he would have all his children to experience from his word. Something we come across many years ago. But it's called the Father's Love Letter, and we want to read it here. It's a man, the story behind it is kind of an interesting story. He was kind of down and out, and he kind of put this together from Scripture. It's called the Father's Love Letter. It says, "My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. For you were made in my image. In me you live, move, and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake. For all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb. and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts towards you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul. And I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desire of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine. For I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eye. And I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son Jesus. For in Jesus my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you and not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. And I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am watching and waiting for you. Love, Dad, Almighty God. Scriptures behind every one of them. The love of the Father. May He be glorified in Jesus' name.